first things first. This is what I'm teaching on today, Tori. Get this. Living above sea level. Living above, not S-E-A, S-E-E. Come here, Christians. This is a message we have to embrace, especially in a time like this, is when you have to live above what you can see. Because if you focus only on what you see, you're going to be just like the people that are described in this text. You're going to be worried. You're going to have anxiety. You're going to be flustered because God has called us to live above what we can see with our natural eyes. This is why a good prayer right now in this season, especially as we're consecrating and fasting, a good prayer is that God would give us eyes to see his ways of doing things. Look what he says, Elder. He says, seek ye first. That's important. Seek ye first. I mentioned this in Bible study, that some of you, you're not doing the wrong thing. You're doing the right thing in the wrong order. See, because watch this, some of you are so close in your walk with God that the devil can't get you to do the wrong thing. So what he has to do now is to get you to do the right thing, but to do it in the wrong order. Because order is very important to God. And this is why Jesus is telling his disciples now, he's teaching them the kingdom way, and he tells them, listen, y'all, listen, my disciples, seek first the kingdom of God. Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God, what is that? That means seek first his way of doing things. His way of doing right and being right. Do that first. Put first things first. He says, and when you do that, all of these other things are just going to be added to you. Amen. See, and this becomes the challenge because he says, now you have to put God's things first and all the other things are going to be increased. Man, if you weren't here last week or in Bible study, we articulated this principle that when first things are first, second things increase. Okay, and that's for every area in your life. Make sure you have Bible study because the Lord told me to teach a message this Wednesday on first thing first, order in your marriage. Because so many marriages are under duress or the devil is having his way because there's no law, there's no order, no governance in our marriages. So we just get married and do whatever we want to do. But you have to understand marriage is a spiritual function. And God is saying you have to put first things first because we want the promises in the word, but we don't want to live according to the principles. Man, you want the promises of God, but you don't want to do what God has told you to do so that you can receive these promises. And as a consequence, the devil has come into our lives to make us think that God's word don't work. No, it's not a problem with the word. It's a problem with those who are trying to work the word. That if we would just simply put first things first, line upon line and precept upon precept, then the promises of God would simply overtake us. This is the challenge that Jesus had, was trying to get his disciples to operate according to the kingdom's way of doing things, to God's system of survival, because he wants us doing the right thing. Somebody say, first things first. See, what the devil comes to do, my brothers and sisters, is he comes to pull our attention down on what we can see. Because if you operate based on what you see, then what you see is all you'll ever have. If you operate just based on what you see, your five senses, that's all you'll ever have. But when you got saved, I don't know if the pastor who shook your hand told you this or not, but you received a sixth sense. And that sixth sense is the sense of faith. That now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So I don't look at now my life based on what I see, but I look at my life now based on what he said. Let me show you this in the word. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This just dropped in my spirit. I want you to see this. Living above sea level. to the supernatural abundance of God. I'm living above sea level, above toil, above strain. I'm living in abundance. And you don't do that until you put these principles into practice. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Look what Paul says now. This is so important. He says, you got it? Say, I got it. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, this wasn't in my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, Christians, we, who is that we, Paul? Us, those who are saved, sanctified, believing in God's word. But at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are what? But the things which are not seen are what? See that? He's saying, come on, y'all. Elevate what you see. You can't operate based on what you see. You have to operate and live in God's kingdom based on what you perceive in your spirit through your faith sense. Living above my sea level. That I see where I am right now, but I know this is not my final resting place. I see my circumstance, my predicament, but I don't believe that this is where it's going to come to pass. And see, so what the devil will do once we get on sea level is he'll cause us to drift. He'll cause us, watch this, to doubt. He'll cause us to become dull. Then he'll cause us to start despising. Did you get that? He'll cause you to drift. You won't seek God with the passion and the fervency that you once did. He'll cause us, watch this, after we drift, to doubt. I wonder if it's really going to work. I wonder if God's going to come through. Then we become dull. We can't even perceive spiritual things. And watch this. This is where carnality sets in. Because you know what carnality is? When people say you're being carnal, it's when you're mixing flesh and spirit together. You're not all the way in faith, but you're not all the way in doubt. You're mixing it all together. It's like flesh and spirit all mixed up. That's where carnality is. And that's what happens. That's what happens when we begin to doubt God. And then after we doubt, we become dull in our spirit. And then we start despising the very system that God has set up. Now, everything in the kingdom of God, you have something to say about it. Because the thing that got you saved, the thing that got you delivered, now you're talking about it. See, this is what happens when we live on sea level. And this is the same thing that God was trying to do when we read in the pages of this word, when he was taking his people out of Egypt and bringing them into this promised land that he has promised them. He says, watch this, I want y'all to prosper. I want y'all to live in this land that flows with milk and honey. Let the church say milk and honey. Say it again, milk and honey. That means it has necessities and niceties. That's what that means, milk and honey. You get that? He says, I'm going to take you from Egypt. This is symbolic of our walk because God wants to take us from among the world. He says, come on, y'all get from among the world. Get saved. And after you get saved now, your mindset has to shift towards the things of the kingdom of God because God's word won't work for you if you have an Egypt mentality. If you're trying to apply spiritual things with a carnal or worldly mind, it won't make sense and it won't work to you. So he says, I have to bring you from among Egypt, but now I have to get you to trusting and depending on God for everything in your life. You have to trust him and depend on him. He says, because I'm going to bring you into the land, and the only way you stay into this place, this Canaan, and this Canaan is symbolic of that place of peace, that place of tranquility, that place of abundance where all of your needs are not just met, but you're living even in overflow. He says, the only way you get there is by trusting me totally. That's the only way you get there, by trusting me with everything. With your marriage, with your finances, with your health, trusting me day by day, trusting the Lord.
Amen.
He says, you got to do that. And so this is what he told them to do. He says, all right. And we read it in Exodus chapter 13, I believe it was in Bible study. He says, before I cross you over this Red Sea to take you out of the world, you got to put me first. And he began to institute the principle of first things first. He says, every first child that opens the womb is mine. Every first animal that you receive is mine. Every first fruit that you receive of the first year is mine. Why? Because I have to put you in a position of putting God first. He says, watch this. He not only tells them that, he says, but you teach your children. He says, because they can't be relying on the world system. He says, you teach your children to put God first. He says, bind it to their hands. Let it be as frontlets on their eyes. So your children can know that, baby, we trust God in this house. That's what we do. We put God first in everything. Before you put fork to mouth, you thank God for giving you food on your table. Why? Because everything we do, we put God first. Somebody say, first things first. So he began to teach them this. And watch this. He teaches them now the principle, this concept of tithing. Tithing, the first tenth. It's a spiritual concept. It was there before the law came. And he says the reason why the tithe is required of those who live in God's kingdom is because the tithe demonstrates to God that first things are always first. And I know we've heard so many different teachings on tithing, so many different perspectives on tithing. And you got to be careful of who you're listening to. Please don't receive advice from Oprah Winfrey on tithing. All right. Now, she could tell you how to lose weight and how to do this and that, but spiritual things need to be taught from spiritual people.
Amen.
I love Oprah. I love, she's a role model for many women, but spiritual things is out of her arena. And the reason why I'm saying this is because as I listen on the radio and as I see things on TV, so many people are chiming in on what the church is doing. They have something to say about spiritual matters when many of them aren't even spiritual themselves.
Amen.
No, you stay out of my area. I don't come and tell you how to run your show. Don't you come and tell me how to operate the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You got people who can't find the book of Revelations, but they won't tell you what the Lord is saying. Somebody say first things first.
First things first.
So I don't want to beat you over the head with a message on tithing. I want to show you why the Lord requires of us the first tenth. And then you be the judge. You apply it or reject it in your life. I want to show you why God put this in his word for us. And it wasn't just something for back then that has no relevancy or has no benefit to us now. I want to show you this. It was so that always we can keep God first in our lives. And he says, when you do that, I'm going to change your life and I'm going to change it on a dime. I'm going to change it on a dime. I'm going to take you from trusting Egypt, tall, 3 and 4 jobs, 12 and 15 hour shifts. I'm going to change that whole concept. Because when they were in Egypt, they had to make brick without straw. They had to work for their slave masters. Watch this. And they had to be under this bondage, this system that never allowed them to get ahead. He says, but I'm your God. When you put me first, I'm going to make sure you become fruitful.
Amen. Amen.
He says, so I have to institute the tithe. Let me give you 7 truths about the tithe. 7 truths about the tithe. And some of us, we've been toiling. We've been working 2 jobs. Some of y'all sleepy right now because you just got off a few hours ago. You know, and God says, I want to get you out of this rat race, bring you to a place of fulfillment in your life. Go. The first thing is the tithe. This is what we have to understand. This is what he was trying to communicate to them, is that the tithe is holy. He had to get them to get a reverence for holy things. For holy things. That some things are to be set apart for God.
Amen.
Holy things.
Amen.
Y'all know that. Y'all remember, we don't see this now, unfortunately, in our society, but y'all remember a time when people wouldn't even smoke by the church?
Yeah.
Y'all remember that? That if you're riding by the church, even the winos wouldn't drink wine on the church step.
Right.
Now we got to have an alarm system and everything because people breaking in the church. You know, but there used to be a time where we had a reverence for holy things.
Yeah.
For holy days. There used to be a time when you couldn't even go to the mall on a Sunday. It was shut down. I mean, nothing was open on a Sunday because that was considered a holy day. And that's what God was trying to get them to see, that you have to reverence holy things. And he says the tithe is holy. Go to Leviticus chapter 27. Let me show you this in the word. Leviticus chapter number 27. Hallelujah. First things first. He's teaching them you have to live above sea level. You got to live by trusting God. Leviticus 27. I want to hear your pages turning this morning. Leviticus 27, verse number 30. Turn them pages, because see, the devil wants you to be ignorant. The devil wants you to think that you just put money in church. The tithe is personal, baby. Don't have nothing to do with putting money in church. It's how I live. Hallelujah. Look what he says here in Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look what he says here. I'm trying to help you out. Verse number 30. It says, oh, I want you to see it. Come on. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look what he says. He says, and all the tithe of the land. Now that word tithe means tenth. Okay? That's what that word tithe is. A Hebrew word that means tenth. First tenth. He says, of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is what?
Holy.
See, it is holy. He was trying to get them. Now, remember, these are people who are coming out of bondage. They're coming out the world. They're coming straight up, straight up out the club. And he's trying to teach them the reverence of holy things. Straight out of Escalade. No, Escalade closed, huh? See, I saw a sign that said closing down or something. And I drove by there. Oh, what's that other club? Yeah, y'all know what I'm trying to say. He's teaching people who are coming straight out the world.
There you go.
Well, they did close down. They did?
Yeah.
Okay, see, how you know they did, D?
It was on TV.
Oh, it's on TV. It was on TV? All right, y'all come back. He's talking to people who can't go to Escalade no more. And he's trying to teach them about holy things. And so he says, the tithe is holy. It belongs unto the Lord. And we don't touch stuff that's holy. We reverence holy things. That's what he's trying to teach them. He says, listen, y'all can't depend on the world no more. You have to now start trusting God. And the first way you do this is by giving reverence to things that are holy. He says, so the first thing is tithe. The tithe is holy. Put number two up. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. Second, the tithe, it breaks the curse of the world off of your life. Because all of us in our minds have the residue of the world. We have a tendency to do things like the world or like our natural mind tells us to do it. It breaks that curse. That's the curse that keeps you toiling. That's the curse, watch this, that every time they give you a promotion, gas go up. Every time you get ahead, by the time they take taxes out and all of this, you bring it home a net increase of about $45 every 2 weeks. That's a curse. That's a system that you can never get ahead on. He says, but when you honor me with the tithe, I'm going to break that curse off of your life. See, when we talk about curses, it don't mean that God is going to hit your house with a bolt of lightning and set it on fire if you don't pay your tithes. No, that's not the fear of God that we're talking about. It don't mean that if you don't pay your tithes, you're going to get in a car accident, be in the hospital. That's not what the curse is. The curse is now you got to go out here and operate without the protection and the provision of God upon your life.
Amen.
And I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a curse. That's a curse for me to work 30 years and have nothing to show for it at the end of it and have nothing to pass to my children and my children's children. That's a curse. He says, but when you put me first, when you honor me with the tithe, I'm going to break that curse. I'm going to break a curse of poverty. I'm going to break a curse of lack over your life. Go to Malachi 3. I'm convinced of this word, man, like never before. I don't care who says what. I'm convinced the word works, and I'm going to show you why in just a moment. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. If you find Matthew, go back one book, you'll find Malachi. I'm convinced this word works.
Amen.
And when you worship God with your tithe, I want you to know that you know that you know what you're doing. I don't want some preacher just to throw out a few verses to you or try to twist on your emotions for you to give the tithe. Baby, you're going to miss the blessing if you don't understand the word.
Amen.
Look what it says in Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 6. If you got it, say, I got it.
I got it.
Living above sea level. It says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
So there's no such thing as that was under the law, Pastor. You don't have to teach. No, he said it right here. I am the Lord, and what?
I change not.
I do not change. He says, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me. Put first things first is what he's saying. And I'm going to return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what ways shall we return? He goes on to ask them a question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you, God? I don't know nothing about that. He says, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are cursed with what? You're cursed with a curse, but you have robbed me, and you robbed even the whole nation. Because as believers, we are one nation, a one kingdom of people. And when you rob God, you affect everybody in the nation. He says, so you're going to be cursed with a curse. When you give the tithe, the curse is broken. You don't have to fight for yourself anymore. You don't have to politic and negotiate anymore. No, the favor of God is going to put the right people in your path. The right set of eyes are going to fall on you. The right person is going to shake your hand. You don't have to be the most qualified or the most degreed. God is going to make sure that his favor is upon you, and then that's how the curse is going to be broken over your life.